We looked at the sovereignty of God last week. Today we're looking at the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God, and how timely this is. You know, in the not too distant past, the expression, a man of his word, when people said that, that person is a man of his word, a man of his bond, was to say to someone, that's a faithful person. He is a man of his word, a man of his bond, as it were. Lots of people used to be described as that. Someone who kept, when they said something, they kept it. They meant what they said. They were loyal to it. They were committed to it. You don't hear that expression said much more nowadays, do you, in our society? It's more than likely because distrust and unfaithfulness really has been normalized, hasn't it, around us. And we see that in these degenerate days. Distrust and unfaithfulness has been normalized. It's been desensitized. And we see unfaithfulness in all walks of life, from high office, as it were, where we see in political circles, we see scandals. Scandals are everywhere. Corruption is everywhere. From the media, we see truth is often distorted and spun, as it were, to fit an ungodly narrative. And we see that with what's going on with the climate change alarmists, as it were, how it's always spun to fit an ungodly narrative. And of course, we see it right down, unfaithfulness and distrust, right down to the family bond, as it were, the institution of marriage, where something like 50% of all marriages end up in divorce now in the West. And so we see unfaithfulness everywhere, and it's being normalized, isn't it? How dark must this world seem to those who know not yet the faithfulness of God? How dark must this world seem to those? Because the heavenly reality is that disappointment and heartache are never too far away, are they, in this veil of tears? They are just around the corner. That's the reality of it, isn't it? And we can put our hands up and confess, we who know the Lord, that before we are saved, disappointment, heartache was always there, wasn't it, around the corner. And even as a Christian, there's disappointment. But of course, we who know the Lord, we know of his faithfulness. We know he keeps his promises. He is a man of his promise and of his bond. Let us therefore, dear friends and brethren, seek the Lord our God with all our hearts, for he alone is faithful in all that he does. The Lord gives us those promises and those precious, beautiful words in Jeremiah 29:11-13. When I was just saved, someone told me these words from Jeremiah, and they are precious to me. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12, then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And verse 13, and ye shall seek me, and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. Dear friends, this is God's promise, that those who truly seek him will be found in him. He is so faithful to his word. The thoughts, often when providences are against us and the dark clouds are over our heads, as it were, the thoughts God has towards us are thoughts of peace, to give us an expected end. He promises this, and so we need not fear. You see, unlike us, God's unchanging attribute of faithfulness is essential to who he is, isn't it? Far be it from the Lord that he would act contrary to his divine nature, because he is faithful, always faithful. Jesus Christ's words will never, ever fail you. Nothing can ever stop him from keeping his promises to you. Unlike us, he never falters, does he? Nor forgets to remember his covenants and promises of mercy to those who love his word, who seek him with their whole heart. And so to aid today's study, I would like us to consider the following three points. Firstly, God's common faithfulness to all his works, to all creation. Secondly, the Lord's faithfulness to forgive us all our sins upon true heartfelt repentance. And thirdly, the Lord God's faithfulness to his word and to his promises. 3 points for us to consider. Firstly, let's look at God's common faithfulness to us all. God's word says in Matthew 5:45, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." God's goodness and faithfulness is over all his creation. For he maketh his sun, the sun that he made, the sun that belongs to him, his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Without even realizing it, many people awake every day depending upon the faithfulness of Almighty God. We have the seasons, we have the daily light. We depend upon God's faithfulness, don't we? Every single day, the whole of our society is governed by God's faithfulness. And many people, without even realizing it, depend upon God's faithfulness and God's common bounty of goodness to all. He brings his light upon all, his compassions. They fail not. They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Such is the long-suffering and patience of God, that many millions awake every day, yea, billions awake every day, not acknowledging Almighty God for his faithfulness, their Maker for his faithfulness, yet again. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He is so long-suffering. He is still faithful to his creation, although his creation, we who are the pinnacle of his creation, are so unfaithful to him. He is so willing to give us space to repent. How terrified would man be if he were to awake and 1 hour went by and yet no light in the morning? How terrifying would that be? And perhaps if he is an early riser, he wakes and thinks, well, it should be light now, but maybe the clock I'm looking at has stopped. I'll get some batteries. Maybe I've confused the times. And perhaps he thinks, justifying it. But then another hour goes by and still no light. And that person heads to work in pitch darkness. And then he sees the faces of everyone around them. Still, everyone else is baffled. Still no light around them. Still no faithful light around them. He's puzzled. He sees the expression on people's faces. Fear starts to kick in, as it were. And then at work, still no light. Perhaps there's been a volcano that's engulfed. The clouds have engulfed the sun in that particular area. So he goes and he switches on the news. He sees, hold on a second, this is starting to be terrifying. What does the news say? And there he puts on the media. And even the media are in panic because they don't know what's come of these things. The scientists who predict all these things, they're in panic. They don't know what's going on. And a day goes by, still no light. A week goes by, still no light. A month goes by, still no light. A year goes by, still no light. Tens of years go by, still no light. Still darkness. You see, what I'm trying to get at is we here receive the faithful light, the faithfulness of God every day. But you see, in hell, there's going to be none of that faithfulness. In hell, the only faithfulness we will know in hell is that God keeps his word. He is faithful to his word. You see, all common light and grace is going to be taken. It's a solemn thing to think about, isn't it? Every single day we acknowledge, whether we realize it or not, or whether we acknowledge it or not, we have God's faithfulness. He provides for all. His goodness is over all his creation. The faithfulness of God to all can be seen in his provision for all. in regulating the seasons. And we can see that outside with autumn, can't we? And how it's almost like a picture of salvation, isn't it? How the Lord breaks down and we see all the leaves are shed, as it were. Is not this a picture of salvation? Where everything dies, as it were, when God shows us through his light our sin and our depravity, and everything dies, as it were, and it's dead. And then the spring comes and everything turns to life, as it were, because of the faithfulness from God, a great gulf away. He brings everything to life. It's a picture of salvation. God's glory is everywhere, isn't it? The heavens declare the glory of God. As it says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Don't believe in the climate change alarmists that will say we're all going to be extinct in the next 10 years. No, no, no. The Lord God is sovereign. He is faithful. Dear friends, whilst we have the light, there is still work to be done. There are still souls to be saved. The Lord is still working a great work of grace in the hearts of many today. Dear friends, the only reason why we have seasons is because God is good and faithful to all. We depend upon them, don't we? We need them to supply us with our daily bread, don't we? If we do not have God's faithful provision of seed time and harvest, we would all soon perish. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, says Psalm 145:9. We who are the pinnacle of God's creation and God's works benefit every day from his common faithfulness and goodness to us all. How barren would our lives be if we had a permanent summer? Imagine a permanent summer, and you see some places like the Sahara Desert, barren as it were. Nothing grows there, just desert as it were. How bleak would our lives be if we had a permanent winter? I've been in England for 20 years now. I'm still getting used to the British winter. But how bleak would it be if January or so was like that constantly? Friends, how bleak and dark and barren are the lives of those who know not the faithfulness of God. Think about that. How dark and bleak and barren are those who are not yet saved of God, who do not know the faithfulness of God savingly. How dark this world must seem. That really should urge us out of love, shouldn't it? To reach as many people with the gospel as possible, to have that love, because we know what we've saved from. Moving on to our second point for today, and that's the Lord's faithfulness to forgive us our sins upon true heartfelt repentance. The Lord's faithfulness to forgive us all of our sins upon true heartfelt repentance. God's word says in 1 John 8:9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful, isn't he? To cleanse us, to forgive us all of our sins, not some of our sins. He's not like man who holds grudges. All of our sins, complete atonement. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, remembered no more. He remembers them no more. He doesn't go back and say, remember last week, remember that. Or remember a year ago when you did that and you said that. He's not like that. When he says, I'll remember them no more, he means it. He remembers them no more. We remember them, don't we? We remember our failures. We remember our sins. And sometimes they do grieve us. But God doesn't remember them. Praise to the Lord Jesus. He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. Friends, only he who is faithful and just can forgive a poor lost sinner. He is the only one that is truly faithful. We can all put our hands up, can't we, here, and put our hands up and say, there have been times that we have been unfaithful. There have been times that we have been unjust. We're not perfect, are we? No priest or pope can give you any hope. They'll just leave you dangling over the abyss of hell on a burning rope. You see, divine justice upon sin must be met before we can escape the devil's hell-bound net. Who amongst us can open up heaven's door? Who amongst us is always faithful in whom we may adore? It is Jesus. It is blessed Jesus Christ, the faithful husbandman of eternal life, who went to the cross of Calvary to redeem us, the church, his blessed cleansed wife. Do you know of a friend so loyal and committed and faithful and true, who is willing to lay down his life especially for you? For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did not come to call the righteous, did he? He came to call sinners to repentance, those who realize by his light, by gospel lights, that they fall short, that they are unfaithful, that they are unjust, that we need his faithfulness. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You may be saying within your heart, though, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Do you know the things that I think of sometimes? Do you know the things that I've done in my past? The people I've let down in my past? The influence that sometimes I'm affected with? How can I be saved? How can God save me? How can all the things that I've done in my life? You know not what wicked thoughts I have every day. You know what wicked things I've said to other people of even recently. Surely there's no hope for me. I'm well past the sell-by date, as it were. I've become rotten from the core, as it were. Surely there's no hope for me. Is there still mercy reserved for me? Even for me? Is there still mercy? Who has given my heart for all that is in the world? Empty, it lay me. How unfaithful can one man be? How distrustful in everything around I now see. How can I answer my soul's deepest plea? Only Jesus, only sweet, tender, blessed, faithful Jesus, who said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11:29. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you learnt of Jesus? Have you learnt of Jesus? Seek him with your whole heart. Taste and see that he is good by faith. Taste and see by faith that only he is good and faithful to forgive you upon true heartfelt repentance. Now therefore, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, as we read earlier in Deuteronomy 7:9. His testimonies of old are sure, aren't they, to all sorts of sinners who found grace and forgiveness with the Lord. How about Matthew, the tax collector, who defrauded many out of their pockets, he being, of course, employed by the Roman Empire, and defrauded many out of pocket, didn't he? And he spent his life chasing after uncertain riches until one day Jesus passed by, didn't he, and said, follow me. And from that day onwards, his heart was changed. He knew Christ's forgiveness. He knew Christ's faithfulness. Instead of taking, through the faithfulness of Christ, he became a giver. He gave, didn't he? Because of the faithfulness of the giver, because of Jesus. And the fact of the matter is that not only the works of, not the works of these hands can fulfill the law's demands. All the saints of old were brought to know this, that not all the works of these hands can fulfill the law's demands. That's why they all came to believe in an atonement for sin. Only a perfect, spotless atonement would do. And we have that picture, don't we, in the Old Testament of how the faithful Jew would come and bring the best of his flock, as it were. The lamb, the fattest, the one without blemish, the one that didn't have a limp. And he would bring it to the high priest, as it were. And the high priest would sacrifice it in his presence, as it were. And he would look upon the priest doing this and he would think, this is because of my sin. This is because of the offence of my sin. This is how terrible my sin is. The brutality, watching that lamb being disemboweled, the blood and the graphicness of it. This is because of my sin. This is how offensive my sin is to Almighty God, that it takes a life, as it were. And of course, this was a picture, wasn't it, of Jesus Christ, that spotless lamb, which John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. "For they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick," dear friends. And we know deep down there's something wrong with us. There's a sickness, there's a sin. It separates us from God. Begone now, unbelief. Believe now by faith that Jesus Christ is faithful. If you seek him with your whole heart, for true heartfelt repentance, he will save you from all of your sin. He is faithful, who is ready now to forgive you all of your sins. And those who truly do come to him, he will in no wise, he promises, will cast out. Now let's now move on to our third and our final point. And that is the Lord God's faithfulness to his word and his promises. The Lord God's faithfulness to his word and his promises. Friends, unlike man, God cannot lie, can he? He cannot lie. His word is truth. His word is his bond. His promises are sure and will be kept. Even from the beginning was it so, when God promised to bruise Satan's head, didn't he? In Genesis 3:15, by bringing in the Saviour, the Messiah, into the world through the woman. His promises are sure, aren't they? Now the Lord God kept his promise despite all the attempts to kill the Saviour through quite impossible odds. Even thinking about the Lord Jesus when he did come, Herod killing all the children, trying to kill off the Saviour, as it were. God's word is sure. His promises are sure. God's faithfulness can be seen in all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. They have all, every single one of them, have been fulfilled with extraordinary precision, haven't they? We think about Isaiah 53 and all of the prophecies in terms of Christ being rejected by his own people, by his own creation, his sufferings, that he would suffer at the hands of sinners, that they would choose a murderer, Barabbas, instead of the Prince of Glory. He was forsaken, the prophecies of his forsaken by his own father out of love for us. His piercing, those nails, giant pegs, pegged through his hands. His resurrection, all of these prophecies came absolutely stunningly true, didn't they, in Holy Scripture. And these facts are indisputable, the faithfulness of God to his word. So significant and faithful are these truths recorded that time itself was based on this most momentous event, the lead up to it, and of course after, everything changed irrevocably because of that one momentous event. God is faithful, isn't he, to his word. What he says will come to pass, will pass. And so, friends, we can have absolute confidence in the faithfulness of God's word and the promises to us. When he says something, he will perform it. God promised Noah, didn't he, and us in Genesis 9, that he would not no longer flood the world again and destroy the world with a flood. He even sent his bow as a token in the clouds for us to remember his everlasting covenant. I remember when I was newly saved I was in Ilfracombe and there was a beautiful rainbow, a beautiful bow outside. And I just remember, I was just mesmerized by this bow. And I think I was reading that passage of scripture at the time, just mesmerized by this bow. The bow in the sky. This week, I've seen a rainbow as well. That great bow. We think of an archer and a bow and arrow. But God's bow, God's beautiful, magnificent, colourful bow. Dear friends, it's a reminder that God keeps his promises. He is faithful. He promised Noah, he promised man, and that's the same with all his promises. And now the scientists can tell you what they will about the atoms mixing with the light and everything else, but God put the bow there. God put it there. He set it in the clouds as a reminder for us that he is faithful and he keeps his promises. It's got nothing got to do with science. It's got everything got to do with God, because his promises are sure and lasting, aren't they? What about Abraham and Sarah when they were well stricken in age, weren't they? They were 99 years old, getting on 100 years old, well past the date, the time of their lives, naturally speaking, for having children. And yet God promised Abraham, didn't he? God promised him that his seed will be like the heavens, all the heavens in the sky. Innumerable were the stars. His seed will be like that. And what did Abraham do? Did he say, no way, no way, I'm decrepit, I'm 99 years old, that's never going to happen. He had faith, didn't he? He believed in God's promise. He believed in God and was accounted to him for righteousness. And that has come true. Every nation of the world, every tribe of the world has been blessed, hasn't it, through Abraham in the coming of the Messiah. That's the seed, isn't it, that came through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, right through to Joseph and Mary. The seed, and every single nation was blessed because of God's faithfulness, because of faithful Abraham, because he believed. God gave him that belief. God's word was fulfilled in Israel, wasn't it? They were in bondage for over 400 years, 400 years. And that's recorded in Acts 7:6 in Egypt. They were slaves, weren't they? But God's word was faithful in their deliverance from Pharaoh and from Egypt into the promised land. God is faithful, isn't he? He is always faithful to his word. We must realize this, dear friends. He is always faithful. We need to be conformed to his word. Trust in his word. All God's warnings concerning their idolatry and their persistent stiff-neckedness and their sin were faithful, were fulfilled in remarkable accuracy as well. And God, of course, showed long-suffering and mercy, but everything he said concerning them, if they were to depart from him, that a nation would come against them. And we saw that with the captivity. And God is not only faithful in preserving his people, he is also faithful in correcting and disciplining his people and his remnant. God is faithful in what he withholds from us, no less than what he gives to us, isn't he? God is faithful in sending sorrow, godly sorrow, as well as in giving joy at times. There are seasons, aren't there, in life, as we see. But he is faithful in all these seasons in life, according to his word. No wonder why David could say in Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That's David. That thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. To acknowledge this means that we humble ourselves before him and own that we fully deserve his correcting instead of complaining. Dearly beloved, there are seasons in our lives when it's not easy, is it, to be a Christian. There are seasons in our lives when it is not easy at all to be a Christian. Even the most experienced, battle-weary Christian, there will be seasons in life where it's really not easy. Our faith is sorely tried. Our eyes are bedimmed at times and tired. Our ears are distracted with the noises of the world. We have been harassed by the devil and by our God-hating culture. And we long to hear those sweet accents of the Lord Jesus, that quiet voice. We long to hear it amidst all these things. And we have all these things against us. Plans that we've hoped for have been thwarted. Friends on whom we have relied upon have failed us. A professed brother or sister has gossiped about us and betrayed us. And we're left staggered, aren't we? We're left staggered. We earnestly sought to be faithful to God's word. And now a dark cloud hangs over us, as it were. We find it difficult, don't we, to balance God's frowning providence of our circumstances, what's going on in our life, with God's gracious promises and faithfulness. We find it hard sometimes. Dear fellow tried pilgrim, dear fellow tried saint, remember God is always faithful to his word. Remember that. It says in Isaiah 50:10, to comfort every soul here, who is among you that feareth the Lord, who obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. That's what we need to do, don't we, in such times. Trust in his name. Trust that he always is faithful. And sometimes amidst all our afflictions, all these difficulties, when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, as it were, that's when we need the faith to kick in, don't we? And to trust upon him. Look beyond the dark clouds, beyond our circumstance, and see a smiling face at us, the Lord Jesus. You know, a wonderful hymn of William Cowper's, which he caringly illustrates this very fact. It's called God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And part of it says this: judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are rich with mercy and shall break in blessing over your head. Sometimes we look at those dark clouds and we think, oh Lord. But then the same clouds burst with mercy, don't they? The same clouds bring great mercy to us as well. God is faithful, isn't he, dear friends, to his word, to his promises to us, his blood-bought children. God has not only faithfully told us the best in concerns to our salvation, but of course he does not withhold the worst as well, doesn't he? He is very gracious in telling us the sin that lies within, as it were. He has faithfully revealed our natural condition of sin. But of course he is so gracious in telling us the best remedy, the Lord Jesus, for it. And the Apostle Paul was resting on the faithfulness of God when he said these words in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul, let us learn from this confidence the Apostle Paul has, the confidence that was given to him. I know who I have believed. No one is going to take me away from believing in the faithfulness of God. God loves me. He cares for me. His promise is sure to me. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, that glorious day when I'll be with him in heaven. Have you been given the free gift of faith that will assure you of God's faithful keeping of you right until the end, right until you're with the Lord. Let us, dearly beloved, not get anxious over the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself, because we have God who is sovereign over the morrow. He cares for every hair upon our heads. And dear friends, I must confess that even this week, those fears, as it were, those inner fears and outer fears have come to me with all the pressures faced. But in this study, God has really blessed me in the faithfulness of God. I wasn't planned to have this during the lockdown, but dear friends, God is faithful, isn't he? He is always faithful to his people. We need not fear. Let us take fresh courage, dear friends. The Lord cares for his people. If we love his word and we live his word by his Holy Spirit, he is faithful to keep us right until the end. Let us, dearly beloved, not get anxious over future circumstances. Let us not be overcome with dark forebodings, but let us rather reflect and meditate upon the faithfulness of God in our lives. As I've outlaid in all that we've learned today, are the prophecies of old, the people of old. He who has cared for his blood-bought children through many, many years will not forsake them in old age, will he? He will not. Just be reassured of that. He will not forsake you, his child, his blood-bought child, in latter years. God is greatly honoured when under severe trial and chastening, we have good thoughts of him. Let us have good thoughts of him through all the seasons of life. For we know he doeth all things well. He doeth all things well. When we trustfully resign ourselves in all our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of his love and his faithfulness, the sooner shall we be satisfied with his faithfulness to us. The sooner we resign that, the sooner we will be satisfied. And he will give us that repose. And God will have his way in the storm, won't he? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, unto me. I pray that we can all say that.